Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. Coastal communities along the Chukchi Sea are preparing for flooding and erosion. KNOM reports that the National Weather Service has issued a coastal flood warning for Kivalina, Shishmaref, and Point Hope until 6 tonight. Kivalina City staff and local search and rescue personnel say they're preparing for the possibility of evacuating the community. According to the National Weather Service forecast, the current storm could cause waters to rise 4 to 6 feet higher than the normal tide line due to southwest winds pushing waves directly toward the beach at Kivalina. The Alaska Legislative Council voted yesterday to allow Senator David Wilson of Wasilla to view a video of a June incident that sparked sexual harassment concerns. Alaska Public Media and KTOO report that two news reporters say they saw Wilson briefly hold his cell phone between the legs of a female staff member. The staffer did not report the incident, and Wilson denies acting improperly and asked to see the security video. Council policy denies public access to security video, but allows lawmakers to view them with council approval. The council also voted to allow the Legislative Affairs Agency to conduct an internal investigation of the incident. House Rules Committee Chairwoman Gabrielle Ledoux cited it in supporting an update of the legislature's harassment policy. Council Chairman Juneau Representative Sam Keto III said he'll form a subcommittee to recommend policy changes related to sexual harassment and other workplace harassment. North Pole City Council has advanced an ordinance that would boost property taxes by about 67% next year. Mayor Bryce Ward says the additional revenue it would generate is needed to cover rising costs.
When it comes to running the police and the fire department, just city operations as general.
North Pole's police and fire department are the two biggest line items in the city's $5.9 million operating budget. The council will consider final approval of the tax hike at a December 4th meeting following public hearing. Governor Bill Walker's administration has unveiled details of the new gas pipeline agreement the governor signed with China earlier this month. The Alaska Energy Desk reports that in a news conference yesterday, Walker and Alaska Gasline Development Corporation President Keith Meyer talked about what they hope will come out of the agreement. Meyer says Alaskans will see significant progress on the proposed mega project in the new year.
There's going to be trips to China, trips from them to Alaska. So a lot of due diligence, a lot of papering. We've got a multinational, multi-billion dollar purchase agreement, lending agreement, investment agreement. We've got a regulatory process that we're trying to get through by the end of next year.
The other parties to the agreement are three Chinese government-owned entities that could act as customers, investors, and partial owners of the project. The framework gives China the opportunity to take 75% of the liquefied natural gas produced in exchange for providing 75% of the money to build the project. The remaining funds, about $11 billion, would come from the Gasline Corporation and its partners. The corporation envisions Alaska Native corporations, city, private investors, tax-exempt bonds, and state money all contributing to the total. Meyer says the Chinese partners are thoroughly reviewing the project.
We have an electronic data room that they have spent hundreds of hours in due diligence. Their government folks have talked to our government folks, not just the state folks, but the federal folks, to see, is the U.S. going to be receptive? Is the U.S. Congress going to be receptive? And they've had very positive feedback on that.
The agreement calls for the group to make a final decision to partner on the project by the end of 2018. In its current form, the gas line is estimated to cost $43 billion to build and could temporarily add 12,000 jobs to Alaska's economy. The Interior Gas Utilities General Manager and Board Chairman held the first of two public meetings last night to help area residents understand the IGU's proposed nearly $60 million purchase of Fairbanks Natural Gas parent company Pentex. As KUAC's Tim Ellis reports, it's part of the state-financed Interior Energy Project.
IGU General Manager Jomo Stewart reminded the 20 or so people who showed up for Tuesday night's meeting at Fairbanks City Hall how the effort to bring natural gas to the interior began about 10 years ago. That's when local residents began looking for alternatives to heating oil after its price began rising toward a peak of $4 a gallon.
It was sucking $300 to $600 million a year out of our economy when that price of oil reached its peak of $4 plus.
Before long, the task force formed in response to the price hikes settled on liquefied natural gas, not only because LNG was cheaper, but also because it would burn more cleanly than other heating fuels, which could help relieve the Fairbanks area's growing air pollution problem.
By giving people another fuel option at a reasonable price, that was cleaner, certainly than oil, but way cleaner than wood.
To get the LNG to Fairbanks and then distribute it locally, the Interior Gas Utility, or IGU, settled on a deal proposed in late 2012 by former Governor Sean Parnell that he called the Interior Energy Project. Parnell offered a package of grants, low-interest loans, and bonding authority worth a total of $332 million, which the legislature approved in 2013.
And that's where we are today.
The deal the IGU board will consider December 5th would use about $59.5 million of that funding package to buy Pentex and its assets from the Alaska Industrial Development and Export Authority, or ADA. The assets include the Titan LNG plant at Point McKenzie and tanker trucks to bring the gas to Fairbanks. The IGU would use the distribution system of another Pentex asset, Fairbanks Natural Gas, along with infrastructure the IGU's been building over the past year.
We're trying to rapidly transition an energy economy.
It's a complex deal with many moving parts that include building more infrastructure, using a $331 million funding package financed through ADA. The IGUs will use some of that to upgrade the facilities and build new ones and clean up contamination at some of the Pentex sites. Perhaps most importantly, the IGU will have to persuade local residents to convert to LNG to heat their homes and businesses.
Conversions are what's going to drive usage is what drives the system.
That might be a challenge because the IGU concedes it won't be able to provide LNG as cheaply as it had originally hoped. That's a key consideration for property owners who will have to pay for converting to an LNG-fueled heating system, the cost of which, Stewart conceded, could vary widely.
It's hard to say at a forum like this what your conversion costs are going to be.
Firm answers to many questions raised at Tuesday's forum were hard to come by, but the conversational back-and-forth format used by Stewart and IGU board chairman Mike Meeks helped make some of the complexities more comprehensible, says Allison Carter, who sat in on the session.
It was a lot of information. I certainly didn't absorb it all, but I do feel like I have a much better idea of what's going on.
Stewart says that's what he and the board had hoped the meeting would accomplish.
And I do hope that the folks who did come feel that they got not necessarily the answers they wanted, but that they felt that they got the information they were looking for, at least know what's going on.
Stewart will get one more chance to let folks know what's going on in next Tuesday's forum at North Pole City Hall. He says the public will get a chance to comment on the Pentex purchase during a November 30th IGU board work session in the Borough Assembly meeting room. Board members are scheduled to vote on the purchase on December 5th. If they approve the deal, the ADA board will vote on December 7th. In Fairbanks, I'm Tim Ellis.
An Alaska weightlifter set a new record at the World Open Powerlifting Championships in the Czech Republic last week. Former Bethel resident Natalie Hansen squatted 603 pounds in the women's 185-pound weight class. KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur reports.
The competition to establish the world's strongest women powerlifters began at 10 Friday morning in the Czech Republic. Each athlete lifted three times in each event, upping their weight with each lift, in the squat, the bench press, and the deadlift. In all, Hansen's final lifts totaled 1,479 pounds, squatting 603 pounds, bench pressing 408 pounds, and deadlifting 468 pounds. Hansen competed against women from 11 countries and four continents. Hansen weighs 185 pounds and stands 5 feet 2 inches tall. In Bethel, I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.
And I'm Dan Bross.